Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, our weekly show about gay life from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. There's only 2 hours left to be part of Give Out Day, a 24-hour fundraising event for LGBT nonprofits. Horizons Foundation gives awards for the nonprofits who get the most individual donors. Now, we're almost on top right now. We just need 30 of you to contribute, to chip in even $10 each just to be an individual donor, because those numbers matter. And we want to win. We're winners. We could get a $3,000 or $5,000 bonus from Horizons, and that would really help us a lot. So all you need to do is go directly to our website, outinthebay.org, outinthebay.org. Find Give Out Day. It's right there on the slideshow. It's right there on the splash page. And make a difference. Become an individual donor. You have 2 hours left tonight. Let's drive those numbers up. All right. That's the pitch in the open of the show. I hope you can take some action. We know we're talking to thousands of you, and we know you love our show, and we really need your support.
Made you look. I made you look. Made you look. I made you look.
No, your radio isn't wrong. You're still on KALW San Francisco. Yes, you're not on the dance station, but that is a dance hit with my guest, Poyo Del Mar, who we'll be hearing a little bit more of that track a little later on. It's on the dance charts right now on Billboard. She is a tremendous entrepreneur and performer, actor, comedian, MC. She's on Huffington Post. She has spread herself, no, so thin, just kidding. And so welcome to the show, Poyo Del Mar, please.
Oh, hi, Marilyn. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's so good, because I've been wanting to get you on for a while. I've been watching you do the Golden Girls episodes with Heclina, who's another drag entrepreneur here in town from Tranny Shack.
Of course.
And I've been watching you, along with Cookie Dough and Heclina and Matthew Martin, a talented actor here in the Bay Area in his own right, and do the four characters from Golden Girls, and you play the Betty White character.
And we've been doing it for over 7 years. It's unbelievable. Time really flies.
And you started in that Victorian house over there in the Western Edition.
We did, absolutely. Finn's Fun House.
That was actually, I thought, the most exciting thing, to sit in this big living room, big Victorian living room, jammed with chairs, and watch you be Betty White and Heclina be, Dorothy. Dorothy, the B. Arthur character.
It's funny, when people hear that we started out in a living room, they try to imagine how many people we could fit in there. And trust me,
40?
When you're talking about Heclina and there's dollar values involved, she'll put as many people as possible. We had 70 people plus at certain times in that living room watching us on a very small stage. And now we're at the Victoria Theater every Christmas time.
Victoria Theater on 16th Street in the Mission here in San Francisco. And when you're playing Betty White, I mean, what are the challenges? You're a big, tall drag queen. You put heels on it. Girl, you're like really tall.
Well, fortunately, we're all really tall, so I don't tower over most of the other characters. But for me, the challenge was really, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm pretty present most of the time. And with that particular character, one of the trademarks is that she's sort of vapid and not there and kind of running a little bit behind. I think I pride myself on being ahead of the curve most of the time. So that was a real challenge for me. But
to just look ditzy instead of looking present.
Well, to be ditzy.
And to be ditzy,
you know,
right.
It was interesting. I love that character. I feel like after so many years of doing it, I have a completely different understanding of, you know, Rose Nyland than I did when we started.
Rose Nyland, right. That's the character. Well, and you've also done some stand-up with your given name, Out of Drag, mm-hmm. Paul Pratt.
Right.
And that's been interesting for you to grow into being a stand-up comic as well.
You know,
out of drag.
It was interesting. I think that for me, the biggest change with what I do on stage as a drag performer and doing that was that I didn't feel protected. You know, I have a protective barrier when I'm in drag and I'm mm-hmm. in front of these people. If they're rejecting Pollo Del Mar, they're not really rejecting Paul mm-hmm. Pratt. You know, mm-hmm. Some people, by the very nature of drag, are not going to understand what I'm doing. They're not going to get it. They're going to be turned off just visually by what's happening in front of them. And I completely understand that. But when you are up there trying to be funny or, you know, kind of revealing, especially since my particular type of humor is storytelling about my personal upbringing most of the time in my family life, it's very raw and very, there's no barrier whatsoever. And that was a real challenge for me.
I bet, but I have performed with you at Harvey's on Tuesday night in the Castro and have seen you succeed quite wildly doing it. So
well,
it seems
you.
To me like a real natural fit for you, another avenue that you can explore and should explore. Because it's one thing to watch you do the Betty White. It was just a little hysterical.
Well, thank you.
Hilarious.
I really appreciate that.
It's hilarious. And you look funny.
Well,
I mean, the way you do your drag, go online. Pollo Del Mar, Chicken of the Sea, people. Go check it out. Go see some of the images. Go to outinthebay.org when you're making that donation, becoming a donor.
Absolutely.
And go check out the picture I chose to put up there this week. I don't know if you saw it, but it's absolutely, it's you on the with the legs and you're in a cafe and you have a Coke.
Oh, yeah. That was featured in a book, actually, out of Germany. And it was particularly inspired by a photo shoot with Anna Nicole Smith, who's one of my drag icons. I mm-hmm. think that every drag performer chooses a people in there from the real life that they base their character on. And Anna Nicole Smith was very much one of the people that I chose as a
kind of cheesecake kind of
beautiful, kidney. Big, blonde, mm-hmm. bodacious, and completely white trash. You know what I mean? That was the biggest thing about her. Her early evolution into a supermodel of her own nature is that she came from a trailer park, you know, working at a Walmart and all those things in Texas, and then became this blonde bombshell on the cover of Playboy magazine. And that's how I think of my persona, you know, that girl from the 80s who is now 40 years old and doesn't realize she probably shouldn't still be wearing the white snake T-shirt. You know, that girl, that's me. That is who I am. At least
and
once a week.
Is that also similar to your upbringing?
Oh, of course. You know, you know, we were from the good part of the trailer park because we had a double wide. You know, that was,
fancy.
Yeah, very fancy. I think that everybody should at least live in a home that you can take the wheels off of at least once in their life. So
the reason that we have you on tonight in particular is because you're producing an event that is extremely popular here in the Bay Area. It's at Great America on May 24th, and it's Pride Night. You can find out more about it. You're listening to Out in the Bay, by the way. My guest is Pollo Del Mar. I'm Marilyn Pittman. You can find it Facebook, CGA, as in California Great America, CGA Pride Night. You can also go to CAGreatAmerica.com for tickets, and you can go to your Facebook page and find out where to buy tickets locally and support some of the stores in the Castro.
Of course.
And you're also on Twitter as Glamazon PDM.
Yes.
Pollo Del Mar. Very cool. And so you're producing this thing. Now, these gay days at theme parks, it started in 91. Disney World in Florida had its first gay day. 3,000 people showed up wearing red shirts to identify each other. Pity the straight moms and dads that happened to wear red that day. Conservative Christian right groups protested Disney's inclusion of gays. The Southern Baptists boycotted it for 8 years. But to no avail, it kept going and growing. 10,000 showed up. By 2010, it was 150,000 LGBT people and their families. But and this year, it's all over, everywhere, all over the
Absolutely.
Country. Cities and small towns all over this country, there are these gay days. But at the time, they were gay people invited on regular days, which upset mm-hmm. a lot of people. So when I was researching this for tonight's show, I was shocked at some of what I found, how upset people have become, were then and now, at having to be around gay people holding hands at the theme park in front of their children. And so I found this website, freerepublic.com. And I'm just wondering if you know the level of vitriol and bias and hatred that mm-hmm. is out there. And, you know, the web has everything. So, you know, I just thought I would read a couple of these things. I will never be comfortable near homosexuality, just as I would not be comfortable near adultery, robbery, murder, or any of the other deadly sins. I saw two queer women who looked like men, by the way, while I was at SeaWorld. I got my kids away from them and let them know that they were being disgusting. Two women looking like men. What is that about anyway? And then they called it six fags instead of six flags. That's such low-hanging fruit. Want to provide?
They're so clever.
You thought of that on your own? Want to provide their venue and the association of their name as a means to promote filth to children. So you're dealing with still, you know, being very upsetting. Mm-hmm. You know a lot about this Pride Nights around the country. You started as a kid going, as a young person going
to these
things.
Actually.
In Sandusky, Ohio, near Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, is it now private events? Like yours is a private event.
Ours is a private event.
Is it like that most of the time, or is it still mixed in and upsetting people who are uncomfortable with gay people?
You know, I think that it really varies from location to location. And you know, we had talked previous to this broadcast a little bit. I started the first gay day event that I ever went to was in Sandusky, Ohio at Cedar Point there. And that's outside, it's between Cleveland and Toledo. It's in a pretty rural area. And we did exactly what you talked about in the early days of Disney. We showed up and wore red. It was the kind of thing that the gay community came together and we told all of our friends, it was word of mouth, on this date we're going to show up, we'll all wear red. And we sort of invaded the park. And I couldn't, you know, looking back on those times, it was a very different era. I'm talking like 1994, 1995. And
AIDS.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, and I can definitely understand especially how culture has changed and society has changed, how people would certainly have been shocked because of the fact that they were caught off guard. Now some locations still have that where people show up on days where the park is open to the general populace. But the particular event that we're talking about on Friday, May 24th, which is just over 2 weeks away, is a private event. The park has invited us to be there. Mm-hmm. In fact, the park is funding most of this. They're putting out the money to help bring in amazing talent and make this a special night for our community. So people who will be there that night will only exclusively be there either with the intention of being with the gay community, are of the gay community, or have no problem with the gay community, because we have some incredible big-name talents that may draw people from outside of our community who want to see Wendy Williams, or they want to see people from Glee, or they want to see well-known dance music acts. So this is an event where we are very much working with the park to bring...
It's an entertainment event, not a political event.
Absolutely.
And I think in the early 90s, when it started in 91 at Disney World, I think that it was a political act.
Absolutely.
And that there was the ACT UP era. Mm-hmm. There was the AIDS crisis was at its peak in 91.
Of course.
And there was a sense of entitlement that we deserve to go, and we're going to go, and we're going to be gay, and we're going to kiss each other. And there were kiss-ins. There were lesbian kiss-ins here in San Francisco. There was all kinds of civil disobedience mm-hmm. by the gay community out of the rage that we felt about AIDS. And so it was a mm-hmm. different time, and so it upset people. I'm not sure if you know, it'd be like being a gay group on a cruise ship that's mostly straight people. You're going to make straight people uncomfortable. Some straight people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They're not used to it. They don't know gay people. They don't want to see it. They don't understand it.
It's amazing to me that in this day and age that people would still respond, you know, as the people have in those websites that you've discovered. And, of course, I always forget that people do think that way. You know, I forget.
Because we live here?
I live in San Francisco, and I exist in a bubble of people who are accepting of and understanding of me. I'm out very, very publicly in my personal and, you know, private life. Everybody knows what I do for a living, which is drag, you know, and producing events like this. So I do forget, but then I take, for example, a trip down to Los Angeles to visit my friends there in the entertainment community. And on the way, I pass through tons of places where I stop to get gas in the middle of the night. And I have to ask myself, am I going to be safe? You know, like, you know, am I going to have to, should I take off this rainbow beanie? Should I, like, you know, butch it up a little bit? Should, you know, I hope to God I got all the eyeliner off after that last show. Is there too much glitter still on my face? You know, those things play into my mind. And when we do events like this one, a Pride Night, not only am I targeting the community and the Castro and the people who are out in their daily life, but I've been personally doing outreach into Sacramento and Modesto and places that are where people may not be 100% comfortable being out in their daily life. And this is a great opportunity for them to come together, be part of the community, experience something that they can't otherwise, and feel safe doing it.
Feel safe, just like gay cruises, gay festivals of all kinds.
Absolutely.
You go to a place where you can hold hands, you can be affectionate, and you can be your real self.
You know, I remember
your job.
I remember that back in 1995 when those gay days were happening in Sandusky, when we would all wear red. It was at a time, at such a different time in my life, that I remember being like embarrassed to do that. Like, should I do this? Like, I wasn't yet out to that degree. And I remember feeling so uncomfortable. And that for me at that time in my life was a tremendous political statement. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wear red, and I don't care who knows, and I'm going to hold hands with my boyfriend if I have one, and I'm going to go and be with all my gay friends, and we're going to just be loud and obnoxious and have a great time and not give a damn what anybody thinks. And that was my form of political statement. But now, to quote RuPaul, like, you know, every time I walk out the door and like sissy my walk a little bit, you know, it's a political statement. Drag is a political statement in and of itself, because I live in an extremely blue collar neighborhood, as you know, and I walk out in full drag at least once a week in broad daylights often. And everybody on my block pretty much knows, and I really could care less. You know, what their opinion of me is none of my business. So,
and it helps that you're tall and you're a big dude.
Yeah, I think that they're most people, when they see me in drag, probably would think twice about
messing with
approaching
you.
Me. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's you're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman, your host, and my guest is Poyo Del Mar. You can find Poyo on Twitter at GlamazonPDM and on Facebook at Poyo DLM Fans. Del Mar fans. I'm sorry.
It's Poyo Del Mar fans.
I typed
fans.
It wrong.
That's
Poyo
right.
Del Mar fans. And you can also find out more about the May 24th Pride Night at Great America Facebook, CGA Pride Night, CGA Pride Night. And you can also go to Great America's website and find tickets there. How did Poyo Del Mar come about, the name?
The long story short is that I was eating lunch with a friend of mine in the Castro, and this was years before drag actually happened for me. And there was a tapas restaurant that had one of those sandwich boards that in the lunch special that afternoon was Delicia Del Mar. And I told my friend jokingly, if I ever did drag, that would be my drag name. And then as the time approached when I was going to do drag for the first time, on a serious level, aside from the typical gay guy doing drag at Halloween type of thing, I didn't want to have a name that would sound so feminine. Delicia, even though it's a Spanish word meaning delicacies, it sounds like a woman's name, you know? So, and I wanted something that was a little less feminine sounding, because I could not really imagine looking terribly feminine, despite my behavior, which is probably pretty effeminate, but you know, like, aside from that, I didn't want to sound effeminate in the name, so I chose something that I wanted to be comedic. And of course, Poyo Del Mar was born from that.
Well, and drag names are comedic.
Of course they are.
I mean, look at
the best
drag
ones.
Names, the best ones. They're so hilarious. Mm-hmm. And so Poyo Del Mar is hilarious. It's fun. It's light. We know we're going to have fun with whoever that is. It's like, oh, what is that? You know.
And of course, it was out approximately at the same time that Jessica Simpson was asking whether Chicken of the Sea was chicken or fish, and it was very timely. And thank you, Jessica Simpson, for helping me.
So let's talk about your show. You've got Wendy Williams, the TV host.
Absolutely.
Why do gays like Wendy Williams?
I think that gays like women who are strong and opinionated, and it doesn't hurt the fact that she's nearly 6 foot tall as well. She has a collection of wigs that rival my own. And, you know, I think that she's, of course, been very openly vocal in her support of the gay community. I actually had an opportunity earlier this week to interview Wendy Williams. And when we were speaking, I asked her why she feels that gays gravitate towards her so much. And she said that part of it is that she has an understanding of what it means to be separate and apart from, because as a 6 foot tall woman
and black woman,
of course, and she came from an almost entirely Caucasian white community in New Jersey, that she said she felt very separate and she felt very
other. Right.
And she felt that that has always allowed her to connect with people who feel different.
Well, she's got a new book out, Ask Wendy.
Absolutely.
She's going to be starring in Chicago on Broadway later this year. And I know that at Pride Night on the 24th, you're going to have her answer questions that people can submit at your Facebook CGA Pride Night site.
Of course, yes.
And so that should be funny. So she's going to do a lot of ad lib and improv and answer questions. And she says nothing's off limits, whatever you want to know.
Her book, actually, she reached out to her fans and asked them to submit questions to her. It's a very popular segment of her TV show for those who've watched The Wendy Williams Show. She goes into the audience, they pose questions, and then in her typical, like, shooting from the hip, very direct way, she answers those and provides them solutions. And she's going to do that. We're going to be taking some questions from the audience in advance, not live.
Right.
So submit your questions through our
Facebook site.
Facebook site, and she'll be answering them. It's going to be a hoot. And then anytime that we have extra left over, I'm going to be asking her some questions of my own.
Sure. And you've got Cookie Dough's Monster Show. Now, Cookie Dough is one of the actors, drag performers who does
Sophia.
The Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She plays Sophia, the mother. And she's doing Monster Show. What's Monster Show?
Monster Show is Cookie's long-running drag show. She hosts it every Thursday night. So tonight, in fact, The Edge in the Castro. It's actually where I got my professional start. She picked me out of an audience. Really, I was showed up in drag that first night that I was in drag, and she pulled me out of the audience, and I started performing regularly at her show. So it's in tribute to her setting my career off the way she did that we are allowing her and asking her to perform and entertain our crowd that night.
Is it lip syncing? Is it comedy? What?
She will be doing a 30 to 45 minute continuous dance mix performance. So the girls will be out there performing lip syncing, and it's going to be a great fun. It's going to be a great way to set off our Dancing After Dark portion of the night, which is sponsored by Splash San Jose Nightclub.
Cool. And you also have your music act, Luciana.
Luciana. She's incredible. She's very well known. In fact, to tie it into the Golden Girls thing, she and Betty White did a duet to her song. Luciana has a hit song called I'm Still Hot, and she and Betty White did a duet of it. It's hilarious.
You have not met Betty White, right?
I would die if I did. I have not.
I wonder if she has any idea what you're up to.
I would have to think so. I think she's so savvy and so in touch and so current. I would have to think she knows what we do.
Now, you also booked one of the Glee stars, Alex Newell, who plays Unique,
absolutely,
the male-to-female transgender teenager. What's Alex going to do?
Alex is going to be doing a 30 to 45 minute live set of vocals. His vocals are insane.
We've seen him on Glee singing.
He's so immensely talented. And I spoke with him last week, and we have a 2-page interview with Alex in the current issue of Gloss Magazine. And people who might not be able to find it can pick it up at glossmagazine.net online. And I really wanted him because of the fact that he's one of the first people on national television to represent the transgender community. And though he isn't individually transgender, the character is so well done and so immense.
Believable.
Yeah, it's believable and touching, and you know, his talent is going to be just tremendous.
And so he's an icon to the transgender people, perhaps.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so.
And he's also African American.
And plus size and sassy and
plus
fabulous.
Size, yeah.
So he hits a lot of marks there, I think.
Your target audience for the May 24th event at Pride Night at Great America, is it 20s and 30s mainly, or is it also 40s?
You know, the Pride Nights over the time that since Pride Night started 16 years ago at Great America, the target audience and demographic seems to have changed. Early on, it was very much geared towards the circuit type of party because mm-hmm. of the fact that what they would do is they would have the party at the park and then close the park at 2:00 and do a circuit type event until like 4:00 in the morning. Mm-hmm. We absolutely have no intention of doing mm-hmm. that. If you're one of the individuals who is considering coming to Pride Night, know that Wendy Williams is going to go on at 9:30 p.m. Alex will go on shortly after. You can see your headlining acts and be home by midnight if that's what you want
sure.
to do. If you're one of the individuals who wants to stay and dance until 2, great. We want you to do that too. We consider our target audience anybody in the LGBT community, our friends, supporters, allies who wants to come and have an amazing time, all ages. It's an all ages event. So especially since kids are coming out younger and younger and younger, we would love to see some young people there and their parents perhaps coming with them to enjoy the evening as well. But
that's amazing.
Absolutely.
So it's not over 21.
No, it's not. It's an all ages event. And so long as you can get there and pay your way in, we welcome you. But one of the things that we did notice as a challenge this year was the fact that the audience has gotten younger and younger, and we don't want people in their 30s and 40s, which is my age range. I just turned 40 this year. I don't want people my own age to feel excluded from this event, and I am doing my best to.
Or women, lesbians.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely don't want women to feel excluded. I think that last year was very female-centric. We had it was much more targeted towards women. And this year, the pendulum's swinging back a little bit. And, you know, mm-hmm. I hope to be doing this event in 2014. And we'll see what the mixture of talent is for that year as well.
Well, it's always a challenge to mix it up and make sure you're appealing to lots of people with lots of different things going on.
You know, it's one of those things that you know, what I just hope is that people have asked what we're doing to target women and help bring women in. And my hope is that without having to specifically choose acts that are geared towards women, that women will want to come because this is an event that is going to be fun and it's an opportunity for the community to get together and do something that is a little different. You know, street fairs are wonderful and pride events are fantastic, but when
else? But this
is
rides.
Yes, exactly. The park is open from 5 p.m. until midnight with the rides operating, and then from midnight until 2, we're still out there dancing and having a good time. I don't know when the gay community is going to have an opportunity like this, other than this event, to get together in this capacity.
I went a few years ago, and it was, they had Kathy Griffin, and
that was a number of years ago.
Yeah. I know, and I was old then, so.
That was before she was on the D list. She was like the G list back then. So.
And what we did is, because it was cold that night, it ended up being kind of a little too cold, and so we just got in the gondola and rode across. Now, that was a really fun thing, to be riding across the park in the gondola and just see everybody below. And what a fun, that was right. Really fun to do that. And so, well, I'm really happy that you're able to produce this and to bring in such high-level talent. You've got really quite a lineup.
They, you know, one of the selling points when they hired me to do this was the fact that since I moved to San Francisco from Cleveland in 1999, I've gone every single year. I love this event. It's close to my heart. It's personal. You know, it's something that I think is so special and so unique, for not to play on Alex Newell's character name, but it is so incredibly unique for our community. And I think that it's wonderful that a park like this, in the face of the opposition that you brought up from the internet, you know, is willing and very much backing doing something of this nature. They've reached out to us and they hired me because I love theme parks. I love this event. And, you know,
what's your favorite ride?
My favorite ride of all.
Yeah, or actually, top three.
Well, my favorite ride of all is actually located in Sandusky, Ohio, which ironically or not, Great America is a sister park to the Sandusky park that I went to after my first gay day. They're all part of Cedar Fair Entertainments, and that park in Sandusky is called Cedar Point. My favorite ride is called the Raptor. And the reason I like rides in Sandusky is because, unlike here where we're a little more landlocked and the space is such a, you know, premium, there they have a ton of space and available. And this particular ride swoops you out over one of the Great Lakes, and you get to, like, you know, it's kind of like, it's an amazing ride.
That so. Sounds fun.
Oh, it's incredible.
Over the Great Lake, out over the Great Lake it goes?
It swoops you out, like the Great Lake is right there, and it doesn't take you out into it.
No.
But you know, you feel like you could fly right out of your seat.
Yeeks.
Right into it. It's amazing. That part.
So you love that adrenaline.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah? One of, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really am so glad you finally to get you on the show. Let's have you back.
It's only been 5 years in the making, Marilyn. It's only been 5 years.
But no guilt, right?
No, never guilt.
Drag queens, they're high maintenance. They're not easy.
To say the least. Well, we are easy, but we're also high maintenance.
Thank you so much for being here on the show
tonight.
Thank
you. I appreciate it.
And good luck with the event on May 24th. That's May 24th, Pride Night at Great America. Go online and find out about it.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Pollo Del Mar, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Thank you once again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Good luck. So I just found out that we only have, from Eric Jansen, my co-producer, who's also running our board tonight, that we have fewer than 10 people to reach our $3,000 bonus from the Horizons Foundation. It's Give Out Day. Give Out is a 24-hour fundraising event for LGBT nonprofits. And we just have, what is it, an hour and a half before it closes. So at 9 o'clock tonight Pacific, it closes. And so you have an hour and a half to be one of our donors. All you do is put 10 bucks in, but they're counting individual donors towards this prize that Eric and I are trying to get to reward us for all of the many brilliant shows we've been doing for 8 years. Ang Lee, John Waters, Margaret Cho, Pollo Del Mar, Lady Bunny, any number of brilliant and amazing people that we've had on the air. And we depend on you. We are not a big foundation. We can't get foundation money hardly ever because they don't give money to radio except this opportunity right now. So we're asking you for your help. All you got to do is go to outinthebay.org, outinthebay.org right now in the next 90 minutes and become a donor and help us out and help us win. We want to win. So You've been listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Eric Jansen is my board op, and he is also my co-producer. We produce this show at outinthebay.com. Out in the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org/LRIS or by phone at 415-989-1616. Thanks for joining me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. It's good to be with you tonight.
That website again is outinthebay.org. Do it, please. Thank you so much, Eric Jansen here.